Due to the graphic nature of this podcast's subject matter, listener discretion is advised. This episode of Missing by Midnight will discuss sex trafficking, suicide, grooming, and self-harm. Any opinions expressed on today's podcast do not reflect Ryerson University's opinion. If you have any information relevant to today's case, please contact the Yorkton RCMP at 1-844-880-6518 or 1-800-222-8477. Hello, welcome to Missing by Midnight, where each episode brushes away the dust on missing and unsolved cases. I'm your host, Jada, and today we will be examining the disappearance of Michaela Bawley. So, I chose this case today because I wanted to go out with a big bang. It's a very high-profile case. There is literally a bulletin out for Michaela on Interpol's website. And it's relatively recent in comparison to the other two cases we've covered. This one occurred only 6 years ago. And I find it very interesting because there's such a heavily detailed timeline. I also believe, out of the three cases we've covered, this one's probably the most likely to be solved one way or another. And the 6th anniversary is coming up next week with a Virgil being held. So I feel like this is the perfect time to investigate this case and share the information with our listeners. Born July 2nd, 1999, Michaela Margaret Kim Bawley was described as a shy and quiet girl. She enjoyed playing the violin, acting in drama class, and photography. She actually would submit her photos to be featured in local TV weather reports. She loved The Hunger Games and League of Legends. She was raised by a single mother in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, and was relatively close to her grandparents. Her friends would describe her as kind and a good listener. She would be teased for her acne, but nonetheless was generally well-liked. Despite this, Michaela had an active online presence and was believed to be a very lonely person. She posted her Snapchat profile on one of her social media accounts and said, quote, "Looking for Snapchat friends because I have none in real life." The day before her disappearance, Michaela and her friends headed to a local fast food restaurant. Michaela talked to them about going on vacation to Moose Jaw or Prince Albert. Supposedly, she had been talking to her classmates about going to Regina or Saskatoon. Her friends kind of brushed her off as she had always talked about dreaming of going on vacation. Michaela had told one of her friends that a man named Christopher was coming to Saskatchewan to meet her. Her friends had asked her about another boy, but she ignored the question. Later that night, she texted one of her friends for a ride to the bank the next morning. Michaela called TD Bank 3 different times and then transferred over $25. She texted her friend for help, but when asked why, Michaela didn't respond. She also texted an ex-boyfriend who claimed that Michaela was depressed that night. On April 12, 2016, the day of Michaela's disappearance, Michaela texted her friend again asking to go to the bank around 6:41 a.m. She had previously told her friend that she had $5,000 in the bank, which the RCMP deemed as false. Her friend responded that she couldn't because the bank didn't open until later. Michaela's grandmother dropped her off at Sacred Heart High School between 8:10 a.m. and 8:20 a.m. By 8:26 a.m., she had left the school premises. She was caught on a local convenience store's CCTV footage as she walked along the train tracks. Her next stop was the TD Bank around 8:51 a.m. She waited there until the doors opened at 8:55 a.m. During this time, she could be seen making a phone call. However, when later investigated, the phone call was never recorded through telephone records. In fact, none of the phone calls that Michaela would place that day were recorded by TELUS. Michaela would withdraw $55 before going to a local pawn shop. She would attempt to pawn a silver ring, but due to its low value, was denied. Next, she would head to a combination Tim Hortons and Wendy's, where she would purchase a hot beverage with cash. She then sat in a booth with her backpack. This entire time, she would be looking at the doors as if she was waiting for someone. At 9:23 a.m., Michaela would get up and exit the restaurant and walk away from the building. By 9:52 a.m., she had returned and sat in a different booth. A couple minutes later, she makes another call. By 10:12 a.m., she appeared to have been waiting for half an hour. She texts one of her friends saying, quote, "Hey, I need help," end quote. Half an hour later, she sends a follow-up, quote, "Never mind, I figured it out," end quote. She grabs her bag and exits the restaurant again before returning and sitting at the same booth 2 minutes later. She receives another phone call before 10:43 a.m. She then approaches another woman sitting at another table. Michaela asks the woman for help with renting a hotel room, but does not specify what exactly she needs help with. The woman refuses, and Michaela packs up her stuff while on another phone call a minute later. At 11:35 a.m., Michaela texts one of her friends saying she will meet her at lunch and heads towards the school. She told her friends that she was going to take a bus for a vacation to Regina. By 12:02 p.m., Michaela left the school. At 3:40 p.m., Michaela's grandmother was waiting for her in the parking lot after school. By 4, Michaela missed her violin rehearsal, and by 8, her mother reported her missing. The next morning, around 7 a.m., her phone was permanently turned off. So getting into the theories, it's mostly just the main focus on two, maybe two and a half, if you will. And there's evidence to suggest both, but there's not really a clear answer one way or the other. Our first theory is that Michaela ran away. Now, as mentioned previously, Michaela did have some mental health issues. It was later revealed when given her description that Michaela had actually suffered from self-harm and had excessive scarring along the upper part of her thigh and potentially on her wrists as well. And as mentioned with the Snapchat post, she felt very alone. She felt like she didn't have a lot of friends. And the man mentioned previously, Christopher, there was another man named Christopher who police interviewed who was familiar with Michaela. And he said that she had suffered with a lot of mental health issues and had talked about them with him. There have been a lot of sightings of Michaela across Western Canada. There have been sightings in Regina, Edmonton, Vancouver, and most recently Penticton, which is in BC. The strongest one in recent memory was one in 2019, where a man believed he had drank with Michaela at a casino bar, but that sighting could not be confirmed or denied. Her mother has gone and flown out to Vancouver on 3 different occasions due to alleged sightings of her. As with our other previous missing persons case, there hasn't been any contact to friends. However, there is one possible exception. Apparently, 3 months after she disappeared, a Snapchat message that one of her friends had sent became marked as open. However, Snapchat occasionally does that at random if someone is not active on their account. Despite them never reading or seeing the message, it can become open. One early theory that was spread around about her potentially running away was that Michaela desired to find out who her father was. A man would come forward during the investigation claiming to be Michaela's father and actively shares her missing persons report and posters all over social media. The mother denies that this is the father, but no conclusive DNA evidence has been conducted. As far as we're aware, Michaela did not know that that was her father, so she would have no reason to actively seek him out. The other thing is that we didn't, in the initial timeline, talk about the other potential spottings of Michaela that day. One of them was an employee saw Michaela at the bus depot, and Michaela allegedly asked what time the bus was leaving, and when the employee told Michaela 5 p.m., Michaela denied buying a ticket. Michaela was also seen at a Trail Stop restaurant, which is connected to the depot, and supposedly she bought some food, but police do not believe that she ever got onto a bus to leave the city. Which would lead us into theory number 2, and unfortunately the theory that Michaela's mother believes might be true is that Michaela is a victim of sex trafficking or grooming. As mentioned previously, Michaela was a very lonely girl, and she, according to her friends, had a lot of online relationships with different people, whether it be friendships or romantic relationships. She talked to quite a few people, mentioning prior how none of her phone calls the day she disappeared were recorded. That is because police believe that she was calling whoever she was calling through social media apps, potentially Kik. Kik is pointed to quite a lot in this case as the main factor for perhaps of where she was contacting whoever she was contacting. Apparently, she was a very frequent user of Kik, and due to Kik's low monitoring system for children, it is often a place where pedophiles will target their victims. And due to the fact that police actually had to wait 10 months to gain access to her social media accounts because of the laws and authorities and companies in the United States, it's very possible that a lot of those messages could have been removed or could have disappeared on their own. Other things that show that she was intending on leaving and not coming back. Supposedly, Michaela had two phones on her, according to one of her friends, meaning that one of them could have been a burner phone in order for her to contact whoever she wanted to contact. One of Michaela's friends said that she never carried a backpack to school, she always carried a purse. Meanwhile, in all the CCTV footage, she is carrying a very heavy-looking backpack. Another weird incident is that, supposedly, according to her friends and classmates, Michaela on Valentine's Day received an anonymous bouquet of roses to the school, like someone had sent them. The flowers appeared in a brown cardboard box, which, according to a florist that works in Yorkton, the only way that they would be placed in a brown box like that would be if they were an online order. Previously, I mentioned Joshua and Christopher. Joshua was a boy from a local youth group that Michaela used to be super friendly with, but they hadn't spoken in 3 years when she disappeared. And the other one was Christopher, who's a man from North Carolina who had talked with Michaela about her self-harming issues. However, police determined that he was not in the country when this act was committed. Police also believe that perhaps this was a different Joshua and Christopher that she was talking to that could have groomed her and taken her. The other thing is that human sex trafficking is actually pretty common in Regina, Winnipeg, and Edmonton, all cities that surround the Yorkton area. Well, obviously, Regina is a lot closer than Edmonton. Supposedly, the people who do take the women hang around those areas quite a bit. Just in general, she was such a young girl who felt so alone in the world that perhaps a man talking to her on Kik or on whatever social media just made her feel so good about herself. And unfortunately, he took advantage of that. There hasn't been anything against this theory, unfortunately. It's not like the other one where you can say, well, she technically didn't contact anyone after the fact. There's actually a statement out for her on Interpol, which could imply that police do believe she is a part of sex trafficking. And that way, whoever works at Interpol can keep an eye out for her. However, the sightings around the country does also lead me to believe that it is possible that perhaps if she was groomed or taken away, maybe she has since escaped that life and is living her own separate life, but it's not crystal clear. Michaela, at the time of her disappearance, had blonde shoulder-length hair, blue eyes, she was 5'2 at 126 pounds, she had a thick build and a fair complexion, she was Caucasian. Michaela's family still keeps an active social media feed on places like Twitter and Facebook, as they still hope to find her. As of this recording, her mother will actually be holding a vigil next week on April 12th for the 6th anniversary of her disappearance, and they are currently offering a $40,000 reward to anyone who has any information leading to the return of Michaela. If you have any information relevant to today's case, please contact the Yorkton RCMP at 1-844-880-6518 or 1-800-222-8477. Thank you for listening to Missing by Midnight. Have a good night.